Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It is good to be back with you here again on another Sunday evening.
It's always awesome to be here on Sunday evening.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, amen. And we hope you're all listening and having an awesome Lord's evening. Oh, wait, I don't say that until the end.
Yeah. you can say it now.
Oh, yeah. Hope you had an awesome Lord's day.
You can still say it.
Is that the end of the show?
No. No. No, we just started.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, we're going to do a little different topic today.
We're shifting
gears. It's not going to be a series. No more talk about vineyards or one new man or... What else was there? Divisions
ever?
In the body? Or,
ever?
Well, not
oh,
ever.
Oh, okay.
Or at least
okay.
For today.
You got to keep that.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about the greatest commandment. Because that's pretty important to know, like, what the greatest commandment is.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody knows the 10. There's actually 613. So it's kind of nice to know, like, which one is the really most important one.
Like, can you condense them all down into one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can. That's an excellent way to put it.
A Cliff Note version.
Yeah. Summary of the whole law.
Yeah.
In a sentence or two. Anyway, Jesus does that. So first we're going to start with what he said. Then we're going to do a little bit about the background of it, of course. So we're going to go to Matthew 22, mm-hmm. verses 34 to 40. So we'll have Steve read it first, then we'll talk.
Okay. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments."
Well,
ooh,
that is a summary pretty much of the whole scripture. So if you're looking at a Bible, you know, in book form, or you're looking at it in electronic form, mm-hmm. that pretty much sums up all of it.
Probably like 2 kilobytes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, interestingly, the Pharisees ask him this question. Now, they didn't ask him this question because they thought he was so awesome that they wanted to hear what he had to say. They were always trying to trip him up to see what he was all about.
They had something up their sleeve.
Something up their sleeve.
Uh-huh.
There was always like a sarcastic edge to it. Like you can just picture when they call them rabbi. You know, you can call somebody by a title and be a little bit snotty about
yeah.
it rather than respectful. So, like, if you were asking a rabbi a question and you'd say, "Well, rabbi, can you explain to me?" You know, that would be like somebody who respects the title, mm-hmm. respects the person. But when they say, "Rabbi, let me ask you a question," that's a whole different yeah. way of putting it. And I kind of have in my head that this is how they would have approached it.
Mm-hmm.
But it says he had just silenced the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees yeah. were a group of people who didn't believe in a resurrection.
Right.
So they thought there was this life and then you died, which kind of makes following the rest of the law kind of pointless.
Yeah, really.
Because if you die and then you're buried and that's the end of you, what's the difference if you follow the law or not?
Yeah.
You might as well not follow the law and have some fun if you're going to end up just turning into dust. You know, like Paul said, you might as well eat, drink, and be merry.
Back you go.
Yeah, back you go into the ground. So
the Pharisees thought they had one up on them.
Yeah.
So they
should have been glad he silenced the Sadducees, but the Sadducees had asked him, "Oh, you know, this guy's wife, marries, you know, guy marries somebody and he dies and, you know, all his brothers marry her."
Yeah.
You know? So whose wife is she going to be in the afterlife? Which was kind of a ridiculous question.
Right.
And you can see that it was an absurd question to put pressure on him to see what he was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he kind of responds, "Well, if you read the scriptures, you'd understand."
Yeah.
That, because, of course, like I always say, Jesus expected people to know the scriptures. These were learned men who should have known the scriptures.
Right.
If they went to the synagogue every Shabbat, they would have heard the scripture in cycles of readings.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, when you're in heaven, you're not married or given in marriage. So forget about that. And secondly, you know, when God introduces himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, mm-hmm. which he always did through the whole Torah. If you took my Torah class, you'll remember that. He identifies himself with those three guys who at the time of Jesus were long dead.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of the Torah, they were long dead. They had died 400 years before Moses wrote anything down. So Jesus says to the Sadducees, he's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. So he's telling those guys, hey, listen here, you smart Alex. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not only still alive, but I'm their God, and I know them personally, and I know where they are, and I kind of hang with them once in a while, and you guys are a bunch of bozos on this, because God's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. If, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of a God would we have if he created people, and then when they died, they ceased to exist?
Right.
You know, like an insect or a snake or a...
Yeah.
You know, some kind of animal just dies and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
What kind of God would we have if he created us in his own image and then once we died, we just melted away?
Right. We're just
back
to dust and that's it. And Jesus always taught with authority. You know, he always teaches with authority. So, so the Sadducees are silenced by this. They're like, oops, wrong question.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Guy knows more.
Couldn't you have asked a better question than that?
This guy knows more than we thought.
Oh, man. He embarrassed us. We're done. So the Pharisees are gloating a little bit.
Yeah. So they're, you know, they're always upset because on one hand, they're trying to keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like people who don't keep the law. You notice how many times they say tax collectors and prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this man eats with sinners.
Yep.
You know, his apostles hang out with sinners.
They don't wash their hands.
They don't wash their hands the right way. They don't do the thing. You know, it. On the one hand, they're into the law in its totality. They want to follow every part of the law.
Mm-hmm.
In another part, though, they don't like the fact that all these sinners and common people really seem to like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he tells a story, whenever he does a teaching, all these sinners, as they would say, because of course they didn't think they were sinners, but all these sinners and all these common people sit and listen to his stories. See, they don't get that because they're supposed to be the teachers. They're supposed to be the ones.
And
they're supposed to be the ones getting the praise and the honor, not this ragtag guy who isn't dressed very well.
Yeah.
He's from some place where no prophets ever come from. And why are these sinners following him? And why is he even talking to them? We wouldn't talk to sinners.
Yeah. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Ooh. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, they're the ones that are supposed to be the teachers. And here Jesus is teaching with authority,
mm-hmm.
and all the people are following him.
That's right.
And they're not.
Yeah.
You know, they're not.
Yeah. So they weren't really interested in the truth. They weren't really interested to hear what Jesus had to say. They were just trying to trap him, hoping, like the other guys thought, he would say something that they could say, uh-huh, just like the woman in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, okay, now, Moses said, what do you think? So if he'd have said, yeah, go ahead and stone her, they'd have said, well, what happened to mercy? And if he would have said, oh, no, don't, you shouldn't stone her. Hey, you're not following the law.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says, well, let the guy who's without sin cast the first stone, they don't know what to say. So they just kind of all walk away going, do.
I didn't have a stone.
Yeah. So. So they weren't really interested in the truth. They were interested in trapping him.
Mm, yeah.
And if you know anything about Judaism, you know that they love to sit and debate what's in the scriptures, which is good. Mm-hmm. I like to do that too. And it, you know, after you make bar mitzvah, then you're allowed to comment on the scriptures. Before that, you're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're 13 and above, you can comment on the scriptures. So you can get together with a group of guys. Wouldn't have included women in those days. But you could have got together with a bunch of guys and you could have discussed the scriptures. So there were always debates about what was the most important part of the law. What was it that this meant and that meant? And Does this mean you can walk 1,000 steps or 2,000 steps? Or does this mean you wash your hands for 4 seconds or 7 seconds or, you know, whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
So they would debate these things, but they were looking for something that they could trip him up on. You know, it's kind of like, and these guys were lawyers, and, you know, I have a policy. I won't even let a lawyer in my house. But these guys were lawyers, which leads you to think they will deceivingly ask a question in order to have some, in order to get to a point where they go, oh, aha, so what you're saying is, well, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, but that's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to do that. And he gives them a pretty amazing answer.
Yeah, he does.
Now, he expected them to know the scriptures. They knew where this answer came from. We'll get to that. This is from Deuteronomy 6. They would have known this for what we're going to talk about in a minute. But what he's explaining to them is, you guys debate about the law. You guys debate about what part of the law is the most important. What I'm telling you is, love is the fulfillment of this law.
Right.
The love of God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength and so forth, and loving your neighbor as yourself, is the whole fulfillment of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Paul talks about this in Romans 13, which happens to be my favorite book. But he talks about how love fulfills this, and there's no law against love. And when you love, you don't violate any law.
Exactly.
You don't violate a law by loving somebody and doing something for them.
Exactly.
You don't violate a law by loving God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't violate any law by doing that, because love is the fulfillment of the law.
Right.
And this is what he's trying to tell these guys. You know, they were created, we're all created, because of love. You know, God creates because of love. Human beings are created because of love.
Mm-hmm.
He is to be our first love, because he's the creator.
Right.
He's the provider. He's the ruler. And he wants us to be in a covenant relationship with him, because he created us for fellowship with him. You know, if you remember the old catechisms that many of us studied as kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, why was I made, you know, to know God and to love him and to serve him in the next world, or, you know, whatever it was. But it was true. But it was true.
Right, right.
And, you know, when you're 5 or 6 years old, you kind of memorize that and you don't really understand what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. He's to be our first love. He's the creator, the provider, the ruler, and he wants us to be in a relationship with him, because this love fulfills everything that is involved in the scripture, in the prayer life, in the law, in your worship music. I mean, whatever aspects of worship and prayer you're doing, it's all about love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't love God, you worship in a different way than if you're loving him with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul.
Right, right. And, you know, the fact that we have the ability to love,
mm-hmm.
and to freely love, is what makes this gift that God gives us, this gift of salvation, so incredibly generous,
mm-hmm.
is because while God, you know, God holds out this free gift of his love to us, he still gives us the free will to choose to say no.
Yes.
You know, and if you want to, you know, liken it to something else, you know, if a man or a woman are dating and the one person says, I love you, mm-hmm. and the other person doesn't reciprocate that.
Oof. It's an awkward moment.
Well, that was the end of the dinner. Bad date. We're laughing, but we shouldn't laugh, because it's, you know, the person is very vulnerable at that point.
Right.
You know, so when you freely give your heart to love somebody and they don't reciprocate any love, that can be very damaging to the person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly what God does, because love is to be free. Love is not to be contrived, or, you know, you're tricked into loving, or, you know, well, if you're nice to me, I'll love you.
Right. Conditional love.
Conditional. I mean, you should be nice to somebody if you want them to love you, but, you know, you know, if you make me scrambled eggs in the morning, then I'm really going to love you a lot more.
Yeah.
If you make your French toast, I don't like French toast, so I'm not going to love you.
I do.
You do?
I do. I love French toast.
So, you know, it's not a conditional type of love, but it's the love that God pours into our heart is a love that casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this in the apostles in the upper room when the Holy Spirit falls upon them, because the Holy Spirit, you know, theologically, the Holy Spirit is that crossfire of love that exists between the Father and the Son in a brief definition. And when that love is poured into our heart and we're saturated into it, you know, baptized means to be immersed or to be dunked in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of yourself as a sponge, you just absorb all that Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's more than what was taken off of Moses.
Yeah. Yeah.
from the last show.
Yes.
So we're immersed into this great gift of God's love, and it casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it empowers us to love even more. Because in and of ourselves, you know, when we see this with the Pharisees, they had the law, but yet they didn't understand that message of, I desire mercy.
Mm-hmm.
More than I desire the sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they would, as Jesus would tell them time and time again, you know, you guys are heaping burdens upon people, but you're not lifting a finger to help them. You're weighing them down with all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and he invites the people, come take of my yoke, for my burden is easy, or my,
the yoke is easy.
The yoke is easy. My burden is light. And that's what he's getting at there.
Yes. And what he's saying is, you know, we can't say, you know, our love of God can't just be a statement that we make.
Right.
Yes, I love God. I love God. Because, you know, what he's saying is your heart, your soul, your mind. That means your will, your affections, all your understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You approach it in a total way that has everything to do with your self. You know, every way that you can approach, experience, interact, you love him in all those ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to love anybody like that. You know, you can love, yeah. you love your spouse like that, but then there's things that happen where you have some disagreement and you say, well, I'm not really happy right now. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, later on, hopefully everything is okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, with him, it's what Jesus is saying is all these things, all these parts of us have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in our totality. Mm-hmm. There isn't anything more important than this.
Yeah.
You know, and anyone who knows me knows every day, 28 times, I say, people here worry more about their cholesterol than where they're going to spend eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we don't love him completely, because we say, yeah. well, I love him. But, you know, I really got to get to working out and take care of my cholesterol, and I really got to do my job and stuff. And those are important things. But what Jesus is saying is, in the totality of ourselves, you know, in Psalm 103, it says, all that is within me, bless his name.
Mm.
We don't just make a statement.
Yeah.
You're constantly blessing his name. Well, this is good.
This is
remember,
a new
check out giftofgraceministries.org. I want to hear the song now. We'll be right back.
My faith will stand. my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wow.
That's another Hillsong United
song.
That
really, really talks about what we were just talking about.
I know.
That's awesome. Whew. I was just telling Steve during the break that I have a DVD of them doing a worship concert in some big civic center, and I can't remember if it was Sydney or Melbourne. And
yeah,
I've watched it probably a couple hundred times, and I still put it in once in a while and go, wow, it's so cool.
Yeah,
but this is
awesome
the thing
worship.
Where, you know, this all-encompassing love for God has to be intense. It has to be superlative.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be the same on the same level as anything else.
Yeah.
And this is what he's telling these guys. Every part of us has to be directed to it. And then when that happens, everything's going to flow from us because he's going to honor that and bless that. And then we get into a harmony where things are going to flow. If you don't have that, if it's a casual thing, if it's something for 57 minutes on Sunday morning, things aren't going to flow like when it's an all-encompassing thing. And then, of course, the second part is like the first, but it's to the people around you. It's the horizontal part of it.
Right.
You know, and in 1 John 4:20, you know, it says if you say you love God, but who you can't see, and you hate your brother who you can't see, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You're a liar. And, you know, you're supposed to serve others. You know, Jesus washing the feet just before he did the Seder.
Right.
You know, washing the feet, it's like the lowest servant does that.
Right.
The servant of all. You deny yourself to help somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a selfish love that says, well, if that guy helps me out doing this, then I'll help him out if he needs something. And you go help the guy out, and if he says, hey, I hate your guts, you say, well, that's okay, I helped you out anyway. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when Jesus is going to wash the feet of the disciples, you know, what our friend Peter says, Lord, you'll never, you know, you're not going to wash my feet.
No.
And what does Jesus tell him? If I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no inheritance with me.
Yeah.
Wow. No inheritance.
Yeah.
And you know, then Peter says, well, Lord, in that case, you know, just give me a whole bath. You know, I'll just take the, I'll just take the whole thing.
Just pour it on my head. I love that guy.
So it's, it, you know, it's like, I said the wrong thing. Okay, Lord, you know, wash my hand, wash my head, my hands and everything. Yeah. So, but this love that we're talking about and you're outlining here, you know, the reality of our humanness or our human existence is that, you know, forgiveness and love are two important virtues and two important feelings and two important areas that we really, as Christians and even as non-Christians, need to focus on. Because where forgiveness is more than just a feeling, so is love more than just a feeling.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people, when you talk to somebody, you talk to them about love, they tend to want to think about romance and that, you know, that romantic love that you feel for someone. And that's very real.
It's the Greek word eros that we get the word erotic from.
Right.
Now, erotic has a bad connotation, but in the Greek, it meant the love between a spouse, love between spouses, lovers.
And so that romantic feeling that people get, we tend to think of that as that's love. Well, is that really? Because Jesus says, unless you're willing to lay down your life, you know, no greater love has any man than this, but to lay down his life for his friend.
Yes.
And day in and day out, as you said, once the honeymoon's over, well, you didn't really say that, but you were alluding to it. Once the honeymoon's over and you have, you know, and you have a disagreement with your spouse or your, you know, your coworker, your friend or a family member, what do you do? Are the, you know, is that warm and fuzzy feeling still there?
Yeah.
It's when it fades a little bit, you know.
When your friend says something that bothers you or hurts your feelings or makes you a little bit angry, you say, well, okay, then I don't like him anymore.
Right. So what do you do? You know, is forgiveness isn't always a feeling. It's a decision. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. Love some days is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's days where, and some people may say, well, you know, that's really not, you're not being honest. Well, if you're going to base your feeling just off of an emotion, then your emotions are going to take you day to day to different places.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be rooted and grounded in what this is.
Yes.
And a lot of times it's a decision. I choose to forgive this person.
Yes, exactly.
Or I'm going to choose to love this person because maybe they're having a bad day. And I'm really getting the brunt of it right now. You know, I don't deserve it, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I don't need to put up with this. That's our natural human response, is to, I'm offended. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to bait us with that, the bait of offense, and go, you don't need to put up with that.
Yeah. Who cares about that guy?
Look, you are better than that. You deserve much better than that. Yeah, don't put up with that. You don't have to forgive them. You don't have to love them. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. But what Jesus calls us to do is to lay down our life, lay down our pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I forgive you, and I do love you.
Yeah.
And it's not always an easy decision to make. We're really commanded to do that, but we still struggle against our flesh to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's the struggle you have through your whole life.
Yeah.
And sometimes you fail. Probably most of the time you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you succeed. Some people are better at succeeding than others.
Yeah.
Mother Teresa had to love some people that were pretty difficult to love.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have done that.
Yeah.
You know, we all do it in different degrees.
Right.
But that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
According to this, which actually comes from Leviticus, the other one comes from Deuteronomy, but we're going to get to that. They're both in, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, Leviticus. Never mind. I got mixed up there for a second. But they're both books of Moses. There's five books of Moses. Anyway, but then because these guys asked this question, and they're people who study the law, they really get an earful from Jesus that they weren't expecting, because he says, the law and the prophets, you know, a lot of things about Jesus, he talks about the law and the prophets hang on these.
Mm.
Everything hangs on this. Everything is supported. All the rules, all the laws, all the Torah, all the stuff you guys study have to do with loving God with all your soul, strength, and mind, and so forth, and loving your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the whole structure is built on, because as John also says in 1 John, because God is love, and it's the greatest of the virtues.
Right.
Now, why is it the greatest? Well, we know faith, hope, and love are the three theological virtues, or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So why is love the greatest? Well, because when you think about God, does God have faith? No, he doesn't have to have faith. Does he have hope? Well, no, he doesn't need hope, but he's got love.
Yeah.
And so love is the greatest of them. And so it's the sum of all of that. It's the sum of the law. It's the sum of the prophets.
Yeah.
S-U-M, sum. And without love, the whole thing falls down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's way more important than the rituals and the ceremonies. And like you were saying, you know, I don't desire sacrifices. I'm tired of your new moon feasts.
Yeah.
I'm tired of your Shabbats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that didn't mean he was like, he wasn't saying those things aren't important.
Right.
But compared to this love we're supposed to have for him and the mercy we're supposed to show because
of
that,
the
fall, you know, the new moon feast, the Shabbats, the sacrifices, tired of them.
Yeah.
He wants mercy instead. He wants love instead. And everything is built on that. And, you know, he commonly, like when he's talking to the guys on the road to Emmaus, I think we did about 28 shows on that. he says, you know, starting with Moses and the prophets, he explains how everything is about him. You know, he always talks about Moses and the prophets. When he does the parable about the rich man and Lazarus, you know, Abraham, Father right. Abraham gets a little speaking part there, and right. he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them.
Yeah.
And then the rich man goes, oh, no. Yeah. I know they do. But if you send this dead guy back, they'll listen to that.
Yeah.
And then he makes this amazing statement. If you don't believe Moses and the prophets, you won't believe that someone could rise from the dead. Speaking of himself, mm-hmm. telling the parable, yeah. Jesus, speaking of Jesus,
yeah.
having Abraham say it, but you know what I mean? So
right.
he always is talking about the law and the prophets. So he says to them, you guys who study the law, study the prophets, this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Romans, like we mentioned before, love doesn't violate any of the laws.
Exactly.
You know, if you love God, you don't violate any of the laws.
There's no condemnation.
Right. That's right. If you go help your neighbor change a flat tire or give him a ride to work, you're not violating any of the laws mm-hmm. by doing that. Even yeah. if he's a hopeless pagan, you're still doing good by helping him.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is built on that. And, you know, Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy, he says, love is the end of the law. The law and the prophets hang on this. You know, this is what supports the whole structure of the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so those lawyers got an earful.
They certainly did.
That they weren't expecting.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go back to Titus. There was something in chapter 3 that we spoke about last week that we've been talking about.
Books.
One of your favorite books. It's quickly becoming your favorite book. It's in chapter 3, verse 9. It says, avoid foolish arguments, genealogies, rivalries, and quarrelings, and quarrels about the law, for they are useless and futile. You know, because you were saying about how they would like to debate all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's could be good.
Mm-hmm.
But you see how the Pharisees and the Sadducees would always try and entrap Jesus mm-hmm. with the law questions.
Yep.
And Jesus is telling them, you know, and you said they get an earful, and they really do. They get more than they bargained for.
Yep.
You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, then he's telling them about the guy that's left on the road, and the two Pharisees passing by and go, oh, can't touch you, I'll be defiled.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, why are you curing a guy on the Sabbath?
What are you doing that for? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven?
Yeah.
Or
stand up and walk.
Or stand up and walk, yeah.
Yeah. But then the other thing they get hammered on, now, if these guys really were students of the law, if these guys were really people who they did their Bible study every day, because that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They study Torah every day. I mean, you go to Israel now, you see all these yeshivas and all these little buildings and all these little houses. You know, it has a name in the front. You know, it's the so-and-so yeshiva. And you look in the door. I'm like dying to go in there. But you look in the door.
Would you defile the place?
Oh. But you look in the door and you see all these men, you know, sitting in there. And they got their books open and they got their prayer shawls on, they have their yarmulkes on, and they're like discussing something and they're reading. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we should be doing, although in a little different way. But then when he makes this statement, these guys should immediately go to Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Ooh, that's one of my favorite chapters.
Oh, that's one of my favorite chapters. Deuteronomy is definitely one of my favorite books. But if in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, this is so important that we have to read it and then talk a little bit about it. Because even if you're one of those people that think the Old Testament's boring and who cares about the Torah, we got to talk about this. Do you have it handy?
Yep, I do.
Go ahead.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Now, think about that and reread that again for your homework. But verse 4 is the Shema. This is the center of Judaism. They were the only people that were monotheistic, that had a covenant relationship with their God.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The center of it. Nobody else on the planet at that time could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had lots of gods.
Gods for everything.
Gods for everything. And our ancestors.
False gods for everything.
False gods for everything.
Yeah.
And our ancestors, of course, were among those people, mm-hmm. worshiping all these different gods. But the Israelites, the covenant people, had this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, the word for one there is the word echad, which means unity, but it's the same kind of one as when you describe a group of, what do you call it, a bunch of grapes,
mm-hmm.
or a cluster
yeah.
of grapes. So it's one, but it has a concept of plurality in it,
mm-hmm.
because God is always revealing himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using a word one that says it's one, but it has different parts in it. And parts isn't a good word, because we know we don't call the Trinity parts. It's not
right.
part Father, parts. But this is what he's getting at. It's a God. It's one God
yeah.
in three personalities in the Godhead. He's showing the people this back in Deuteronomy. They haven't even mm-hmm. gotten into the land yet.
Yeah.
Moses is writing this on the other side of the Jordan just before they cross into the land. And then comes the part that Jesus just quoted to these guys. This is why their minds should have gone, we know that passage. They shouldn't have said, thought, you know, I heard that somewhere. They know this passage because
Where
it's the center
yeah.
of it. And is it important? Well, let me tell you how important it is. These words are to be in your heart. In other words, they're in your emotions all the time. You're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. It's always going to be with you. You're going to teach them diligently to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you mention it once in a while to one of your kids? No. You teach them diligently.
Diligently.
You say, God is one. We know the one true God. You have to love him with all your heart, all your strength. You got that, kids? Then a few hours later, you say, hey, did I tell you? Let me tell you again. We have one God. You love him with all your strength. The next day, you say, hey, listen, kids. Boom. You say it over and over again. You mm-hmm. teach them diligently to your children. And when do you talk about it? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You know, you don't talk about it on Saturday morning at 10, or in our case, Sunday morning at 10.
Yeah.
You don't talk about it for 57 minutes on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly, it's diligently, it's in all your activity. You're sitting in the house, you're getting up, you're walking on the road, you're lying down,
mm-hmm.
you're eating, you're going to bed, you're going to work. You're going to the store. You talk about it all the time. And to emphasize it even more, you're going to bind them as a sign. Now, this is really cool. It's going to be between your eyes. So it's going to be on your forehead. It's going to be on your hands. It's going to be on the doorpost of your house. It's going to be on your gate. So everywhere you go, you're going to encounter this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go. So does that mean it's important? It's on your forehead. It's on your hands. It's on your house. It's on your gate. That's what's in the mezuzah. When you go to a Jewish home,
mm-hmm.
there's a mezuzah on the door. You touch it, kiss your fingers, or you kiss your fingers and touch it.
Right.
But what's in there is that passage that Stephen just read, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. So to me, I think this is pretty important.
Yeah.
And Jesus quotes this to these guys. And says, hello, guys. You're asking me what's important? This is what's important.
Yeah.
Woo. So they got way more than they thought he was going to say. Ooh, this is good. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. I was just kind of wound up. We'll be right back.
Like incense, as we magnify the sun, mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so. Even so, Yeshua come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Oh, that's an awesome song.
Last segment already, awesome song. So this is what separated the Jews from everyone else. Mm-hmm. So this is what Jesus quotes to these guys. I mean, this is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
The center of Judaism, he says, you're asking me what's the greatest? You're supposed to know this, but let me tell you again.
Yeah.
And you know, he's one, he's self-existent, he's self-sufficient, he's infinite, he's eternal, he's one. It's absolutely against anything else that diverts us from him. It's absolutely against any kind of idolatry. And in that passage, the word Lord, and if you look at your English Bible, what do you notice about the word Lord? All the letters are capitalized. Mm-hmm. That's God's name. Yeah. Yahweh. They're not allowed to say Yahweh. We're allowed to say it because he's our Abba now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Yahweh. That's God.
Yeah.
Capitalized. And it's mentioned three times in that passage. And we should be totally focused on that. And this is how we have to live our lives. We have to think about these things in all our daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's in your heart. It says you have it in your heart because you ponder it all the time. You say, wow, there's one God. And I have to love him more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to teach my kids this. And I have to talk about it all the time. You know, it's just like we as Christian believers say, well, you know, we're committed to Messiah. We love him. We understand Messiah. We have to teach everybody about him. We have to teach our kids. We have to think about him all the time. This is exactly the same parallel. So, you know, you teach them so that they start to ponder it too.
Yeah.
When you tell the three-year-old, he doesn't have any way to ponder that. But by the time he's 7 or 8 or 10, he's going to say, wow, I'm supposed to love God more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to think about it. And this is what you're supposed to do.
And if you wait until they're 12 or 13, too late.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, it might be too late.
Yeah.
You know, as, you know, as we're talking about this, that it's, you know, it's to be the center of our being. It's to be at the center of our day all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it's going to be the only thing that we think about, but it should be in the forefront. It should be so much in the forefront that it is, that it directs all that we do. It directs our thoughts, our words, and our actions.
Yeah.
In a way that it's not just in our head, but it's in our heart. Because, you know, Jesus tells the people that, you know, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them. It's what arises out of their heart.
Yeah.
Malice, deceit, envy, lies. So it's not all this, you know, the food. Because the food's going to pass through the person.
That's right.
But what comes out of their heart, that's what defiles them.
Yes. That's right. And when you do this, you know, when you're walking down the road, where you know, in our time, we would talk about this as you do it all the time. So that others are going to know you're doing it. Others are going to hear about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, well, if you have this, how come you're so calm about it? And you say, well, let me tell you. Or people say, how come you're so happy all the time? I say, well, you really want to know? I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Or when, you know, when I'm worried about, you know, oh, you know, I don't know about heaven and hell and all this stuff. I think once you're dead, you're dead. You say, well, let me tell you something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you say, well, I think everybody goes to heaven. You say, well, let me tell you about that. Yeah. Because you become the person who others are going to hear in all your normal activities, not just at the, you know, times where you're doing prayer or you're at the church doing worship and liturgy and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inch in your daily life.
Yeah.
And when it becomes part of your life and you're pondering it and you have it on your hand and you have it on your head. So, of course, you put it at frontlets between your eyes because you think about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have it on your hands because it directs what you're going to do.
Right.
Your hands are what's working.
Right.
And others are going to see it.
Yeah. It's, you know, it directs your thoughts. It directs your actions.
Yeah.
And, I was just going to say something. You know, as others see this, we're called to be that light that Christ calls us to be.
Exactly.
We're to be that light to the nations.
Exactly.
That God says the Israelites are to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now, those who are brought into the kingdom, the Gentiles, whom God poured His Spirit upon, they are that light to the nations.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we are to proclaim this. And even if somebody says, but I don't believe that, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because our command is to tell them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God will.
That's the Great Commission.
That's the Great Commission. I have to proclaim that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. And He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to the Father except through Him.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to debate that with me, that's up to their prerogative to do that.
Sure.
But I don't have to enter into that debate with them.
Right.
I just need to reiterate, you know what? That's fine, but God still loves you.
That's right.
And your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
If you receive Him.
That's right.
So whether they come to faith that day or another day, I'm there to plant the seed.
Right. And you do that because you ponder those things all the time.
Yeah.
If you don't ponder those things all the time, like there's a part of your life, there's a part of my life where I wasn't pondering those things.
Oh, yeah.
So if somebody said, well, when you're dead, and that's it, you'd say, yeah, well, I guess that's what he thinks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But now you say, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. So whether it bears fruit that day, it's not up to me. It's up to God.
Yeah.
And I don't do it because I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, if I say this to this person and they come to salvation, wow, look what I did.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very selfish reason.
Sure.
And it's not the right, not the right perspective.
So he tells these guys, you're supposed to know. When you say what's the most important law, you're supposed to know this because this is such an important part of the scriptures that you guys are wearing it on your heads. You're wearing it on your hands. You got it on your house. You got it on your gate. Mm-hmm. He could have said to them, I'll bet you got a mezuzah on your door. And they would have said, of course. And he could have said, what's in there? They would have said, that scripture you just said.
Deuteronomy 4.
He said, that's right. And so, you know, they should be so familiar with this because it's the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus just points it out to them again.
Yeah. Just like the worship in the temple.
Exactly.
Was the center of their day.
Exactly.
everything revolved around the temple.
Yes.
Around their worship to God.
Exactly. So they're trying to, they're trying to trip him up. And he says, you guys got to focus back on this. Remember how you're supposed to teach it diligently to your children? Well, you better learn it again yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It is. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's another good reason why you should study the Tanakh. You should learn the stuff that's in the Torah, because Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. He quotes from Deuteronomy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he does another quote from Deuteronomy. And these guys, who are the lawyers, the teachers of the law, the leaders, the Pharisees, they probably stood there looking stupid, because they had this big phylactery on their head. He had just had this really little one, but they had this huge phylactery on their head that had that scripture verse in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they go and ask him.
Yeah. Well, he even says, you know, your phylacteries are bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
Is that just to cause call attention to yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Woo. That was good.
That was good.
Can't believe the show's over. I'm just getting warmed up. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that God's word would penetrate your heart, your mind, and your soul, that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God bless everyone. Have a great day. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.